Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Up to a wonderful day. Had a wonderful day yesterday. It was cool. Had a good day. Had a good day. Hope you have a good day today.
Well, that was a little cryptic.
What?
You had a good day. I mean,
no, I'm just saying I had a good day.
Uh-huh.
Usually
that I would say that if I was like at the horse races and I hit a couple of winners.
Oh no, I didn't hit no winners. Just was reflecting on the day. You know, like I said, yesterday was my son's birthday. Hung out with him.
Oh, that's right.
For a little
while. Yeah, happy birthday. Yeah.
So it was cool. Hung out with him for a little while.
Is he one of these kids that this morning he would say, "Dad, do you realize on my next birthday I'll be 17?"
Nah. He's real laid back. He's real laid back. Didn't say a whole lot. Was just kind of took it all in. And was just kind of chilling, you know. Just about
when your boy turns 16, or your daughter's, because you have one, she's 24?
Yeah,
24. Yeah, I have a daughter about to be 23. When she turned 16, it was like there was some, like, I think that was the first reality check birthday for me. I don't know. I guess maybe because 16 was such a seminal birthday for me because I got my license that day, but it was like, she can drive on her own and I don't have to be in the car.
Oh, none of that happened.
You know?
None of that happened. He doesn't even have his permit yet.
He didn't even have his permit?
No, not yet. I mean, why? Because he has Huber. He has his dad and his mom.
Did you just hear that? We have a new word, Huber.
He got Huber. Talking about my son. He doesn't need to drive. But I told him yesterday, I'm like, listen, dude, we need to figure out this license thing. We need to go ahead and make this happen. So he's gonna make it happen.
That's hilarious. That's a good one, actually. That's a really good one.
But yeah, that was it. So we hung out yesterday. We broke a little bread, and you know, we just had a little father son time. That's it.
Yeah, but you got to explain to him that the reason that you know, should there ever be an emergency where he has to drive,
he gets it. But it's no pressure to drive just yet for him, because it's not real yet. You know, because is his grandparents. They're everybody kind of live. He lives in a tight little area where everybody kind of lives close to everybody. So yeah,
oh, okay.
It's not like you know, somebody will come get him.
Okay, all right. To me, when I was 16, I wanted that license in the worst way.
Oh no, I mean, I'm with you. I was the same way. That was the ultimate independence that you could have
right
at that age. Nah, he's good. He's good.
Is there anything, we mentioned there's a ton of news and we're about to get into it, but as we do, if there's anything you've ever wanted, you know the Ask Me Anythings they do on Twitter, AMA, I've got an hour, ask me anything. Well, we have 4 hours, so you could ask us anything. We call it AM Twitter Up. So just use the hashtag AM Twitter Up and tweet us at 929 The Game, and you could ask us anything. D-A-T, Hugh, me, ask us anything. And in the 9 o'clock hour, whatever you ask, understand that if you do send something in to ask us something and we choose to use it, we'll probably use your at on the air, okay? So if you say, don't at me, well, we're probably going to have to use your at, unless you say, don't at me. But again, AM Twitter Up, hashtag AM Twitter Up, to at 929 The Game, and you can ask us anything. It can be sports-related or it can be non-sports-related, and we'll do that in the 9 o'clock hour, and we'll be mentioning that through the show. As you ask any question you want, again, hashtag AM Twitter Up, and it's something we'll do on Tuesdays. Because normally, and we do it on Tuesdays because normally Tuesday, which is my least favorite day of the week because there's usually no news, is kind of a light day. I mean, again, we've gone through Monday and the rehash of the weekend and all of everything that took place. We haven't gotten to next weekend because it's too far away. And so from a television or radio standpoint in my career, Tuesday was always the hardest day. That is not the case today. We have to talk about Tom Crean. We have to talk about LBJ in town tonight. We have to talk about Kareem Hunt. We got to talk about, Kyler Murray. We have a ton to discuss with you today throughout the show, and we'll be sprinkling that through the show today, just some of the headlines. But let's begin kind of with what's going to happen tonight. LeBron James is in town, and the Lakers are here for this game tonight, Hugh.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game tonight. Got some tickets. Son's going to be in attendance. I'm not going to get a chance to go, though, because since I wasn't the one that got – like, this is the rule. Since I wasn't the one that got the tickets, I am not the one that's allowed to go. His mom gets to go to the game, so, you know, they're getting ready to go to the game tonight. Yeah, that's how it works. because I didn't get the tickets. I made the call, but I didn't buy. Like she,
so she bought the tickets.
She pulled some strings. So because it was like
her string was better than AT's string.
Wait a minute. Wait, let me tell you how the story went though. This is how it goes. So I'm sitting there and I don't know. Like this is the thing. I'm all about sharing. So I shared the price of the tickets that I was gonna get. She didn't share hers. So, you know, I'm saying I don't know how much she paid for hers, but it was like one of those things where he got the tickets. And so then I tried, this is how I tried to backdoor the situation. I was like, so, hey, who you want to go with? Like, who you taking to the game? And she was like, well, you know, he was like, well, you know, you can go, Mom. And I was like, oh, okay.
Wow.
Well, it didn't go like that. It was just kind of like she, you know how it was one of those ones where she strategically moved in and was like, I'm taking him. You got a press pass so you can go. And I'm like, dog, I'm like, really? I don't have a seat, though. I mean, if I'm there, I'm working.
So she wanted to see the Lakers,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. She probably got her little Laker outfit on. And I'm like, listen, y'all from Georgia. Y'all both from Georgia. Y'all need to go in here and represent. So I guess, but yeah, they're going to see LeBron play. I'm an outlier on this one there, AT. I'm an outlier. But no, I'm happy that she got the tickets and he got a chance to go. That's all that matter. See, I didn't look because you know they were printed out. I didn't get that deep into it. I didn't look at all that. But I should have. And then I'm like, who gave you? I'm like, wait, then I got to thinking, see, I didn't want to be all up in my feelings then. I'm like, who got you tickets, dog? Like, how you got them two tickets? You know what I mean?
What's that?
hate. And it's close to Valentine's Day. Ain't no telling how she got those tickets. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I'm just, no, I didn't mean it like that.
Don't do that, bro. Don't do that. Don't do that.
I didn't mean it,
bro.
Like
don't
that.
Do that. Don't do that.
I'm just saying. Man. I mean, she's a grown woman. She probably got a boy. Her boyfriend probably got a four. If she got one.
Meanwhile, did you hear about Kyler Murray? Hey, yeah, anything to change the conversation right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, that got kind of weird. Yeah, that was a little odd.
Yeah, it was a Ricky Fowler commercial. All right, I got you. Yeah, a lot of headlines. So LBJ's in town tonight. I have to ask the resident Laker here, is this going to work with LBJ? I just broadly, because Daryl, you are the Lakers fan of the family here. Do you get a sense that, in other words, LBJ is going to need help, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do you sense that they're going to get him the appropriate help and that this eventually will work and that will LBJ ever hang a banner at Staples Center?
I think he'll hang a banner, but I guess the bigger question is at what cost?
Yeah, I see where Daryl's going with that one because of everything that's been said about them dismantling the team. There's been a lot of talk, and it's been casual talk, AT, about Luke Walton being fired. Like, I heard somebody, I forgot what I was watching, but he was like, yeah, Luke Walton's the head coach of the Lakers for now. Like, it's people are feeling like it's a matter of time. And I know this is a conversation that we had, last week, talking about whether or not LeBron James is a coach killer.
Mm-hmm.
But whether that's true or not, we could argue that till the cows come home. There is a feeling in L.A. that LeBron James is eventually going to get him fired. He's going to move on from that coach, and he's going to get a coach in there that he wants. Tyronn Lue going back to L.A., that would be very, very interesting. Very, very interesting if that was the case.
Lakers and Hawks live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our pregame coverage begins at 7 tonight. The tip is at 7:30 this evening from State Farm Arena, sold out as LeBron James comes into town again, this time in the purple and gold of the Los Angeles Lakers. We'll have more about that. All right, first blush on a couple of the other headlines. We're going to get deep diving here probably in the next couple of hours about Kareem Hunt and about Kyler Murray. First to Kyler Murray. Hugh, any surprise that he is going to go and be committing now to the NFL draft? I think the biggest, the person the most surprised is the Oakland A's because he didn't bother to tell them before he made the announcement.
Nah, it was a surprise, but to me, this is how my mind works, conspiracy theory. I think that he's going to be the first. I think he was told that he was going to be the first overall pick in the draft. I think that's the case. That's the only reason you make a decision like that because you were told. You almost were guaranteed that you were going to be the first pick in the overall in the NFL draft, this upcoming draft,
well, that's
regardless of what your workout is or whatever. you are going to be the first overall pick.
That would be a big, bold move by Cliff Kingsbury, the new coach of the Cardinals. To Kareem Hunt, that he's back in the NFL, sort of. Now, let's keep this in mind. I mean, a lot of chatter here about the Browns signing Kareem Hunt. Before we kind of get into the kind of the weeds of the story, keep this in mind. The NFL has not finished its investigation. He has not been cleared to play. We do not know how long or if there will be a penalty from the NFL coming that could keep him out of the lineup for an extended period of time. For all we know, he could be there on April 1st when offseason workouts begin and just be literally off and, so to speak, running with the Cleveland Browns. We don't know yet. Any surprise that somebody picked up Kareem Hunt?
I was a little surprised it was a little early. The NFL, technically, the 2018 season isn't over yet, technically.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't begin again until we say, March 13th or
right.
Something like that?
New league year, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not over. I was a little bit surprised at that. But I reached out to some of my Cleveland Brown fans, female fans, and asked them how did they feel about Kareem Hunt being on their team. They love it. They love it. And, it was one of those things where, a situation like this, I know that it's going to divide people because some people are going to be on one side and some people are going to be on the other. I like to sit back and kind of look and see what the landscape is. I mean, I have my own opinion, but I kind of want to see where everybody's going. I'm a fan of second chances. But in this situation, and I've heard other people talk about it, but in this situation, I don't think that all the information has been gathered yet. Not saying that he doesn't deserve this chance. I think the Cleveland Browns looked at it like, hey, we're going to jump the shark a little bit, and we're going to get ahead of this, and we're going to get this guy because he can play. But we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what the fallout is going to be from all of this yet. We really don't.
Well, the NFL has seen Joe Mixon play. The NFL has seen Josh Gordon get another chance in Cleveland, of all places. Now, granted, Josh Gordon didn't hurt anybody except himself.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case of Joe Mixon, it makes you wonder. I'm kind of curious. Ray Rice didn't get another shot. But, of course, Ray Rice was at the back end of his career.
Yeah, if he was in it. I think it's safe to say, John, that if he was in the earlier in his career, he probably would have gotten a second
chance.
That
was my question. Yeah. Would Ray Rice have gotten a chance had he been 4 or 5 years younger?
Yes. And it's funny. I say this again, and this does not apply to everybody. So if this doesn't apply to you, please don't get offended. People pick and choose what they want to get on their soapbox about.
Mm-hmm.
And it all depends on who it is. And it really kind of surprised me that the Cleveland Browns fans were okay with this because they're looking at him as a football player. All the other stuff he did in the past, it doesn't matter because they're looking at him as a guy who's going to help them get to their ultimate goal. And next year, that's the playoffs. So people kind of pick and choose what they want to be up in arms about.
I thought it was kind of – I mean, John Dorsey, the GM of the Chiefs, is, the guy who drafted Kareem Hunt. The thing I thought was kind of interesting in a way is that doesn't Cleveland have Nick Chubb and Duke Johnson?
I was thinking of that too. Nick Chubb, what does this mean for Nick Chubb?
I mean, you already have two really good running backs.
Yeah,
not
but
exactly
you got an awesome running back in Kareem Hunt now. To go up and coming.
Well, that means Duke Johnson's out of a job, I guess.
Or maybe Nick Chubb.
Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. No, that can't be true. Really?
John, you never know. Kareem Hunt was on the verge of going to the Pro Bowl again.
Be a hell of a combo, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. There's no question of that. Tom Crean. Now, I got a question for you UGA fans. Is Tom Crean, is he winning or is he losing? Because I'm not sure I know which one he's doing right now. He's probably doing both. And what he said about what he said next. With John and you on the Morning Show at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now streaming anywhere. On radio.com and the radio.com app.
We are killing it online.
Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now at radio.com and the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Is Georgia a basketball school? Well, the answer to that is obviously no, but could it become a better basketball school? The answer to that is, yeah, of course it could. I mean, it has been. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Kia Studios on this Tuesday. Broadly, as we get to the conference tournaments that are coming up in about a month from now and then Selection Sunday, which is, I guess, a month from this Sunday. And we get to March Madness. If you're kind of new to the area, this is an area in Georgia where we have seven Division I teams in the state, which is not a lot, considering the number of people that live in Georgia. Seven is a very small number of Division I schools compared to other states that have, I don't even know how many North Carolina has, Hugh, 20-some, and is basically the same population as Georgia. The fact is, though, that Georgia produces tons of great basketball talent, and the fact that the major universities, especially Georgia and Georgia Tech, have been this bad in basketball or this non-competitive in terms of NCAA for as long as they have is really, in a lot of ways, not acceptable. I mean, it really isn't. I mean, you had all those great glory years with Bobby Kremins, who had tremendous teams and for whatever reason just could not get into the Final Four. I mean, he just couldn't crack that. He had the. There were a couple of times where he had the best team in the nation and couldn't win it. And I don't know why. He just there was a ceiling that they would get to where they would get beat in the tournament and you would go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh Durham took Georgia to great heights. He had Dominique, and then the year after Dominique graduated, he had Vern Fleming, and he took Vern Fleming to the Final Four. And then eventually Georgia Tech made it to a championship game with Jarrett Jack. The odd thing is, when they went to the national championship game, that was not one of really their better teams. I mean, they had had five or six teams that were better than the one that went to the – but that's just the kind of the way the tournament works. We've never had a national champion here. We had one team make it to the title game. The other team made it to the Final Four, and that's been the high watermark. And now both of them are really struggling and down near last place of their divisions. And Tom Crean was hired to change the fortunes in Athens. Yesterday he had his biggest win.
Watershed moment. We got the number one player in the country. And then what happened, John Freakin?
Well, this is set against a backdrop of whether or not Tom Crean is winning or losing. He gets Anthony Edwards, the shooting guard out of Holy Spirit here in Atlanta, who has been likened to James Harden. That's who they are calling him, that he is that kind of a player, that he is the guy that can really change the fortunes of Georgia basketball, so much so that next year Georgia could go from the bottom of the SEC possibly to the top of the SEC, that he can carry you all that way. There's a lot of pressure to put on a kid, but that's what they're saying. This is set against the backdrop of the fact that Georgia right now in Tom Crean's first year has lost eight of its last nine games, is near the bottom of the SEC, is not going anywhere, and Tom Crean called his players out.
Only got one win in that, if I'm not mistaken, one win. Is it one win in the SEC?
Yep, 1-9.
Yeah, 1-9, yeah. And you were talking about he called him out?
Yeah, he called out his players, and it was in the throes of, up in his feelings after another loss, and he basically said that he decided to keep these guys, and in the process of keeping these guys, the current players, he said this, and it got him in trouble.
It's all on me, because I'm the one who decided to keep these guys. It's all on me, and I get it, because the last thing I can do with making decisions on keeping guys in the program in the spring, okay, is now get overly mad at them, because I'm the one that made the decision. So I live with that every day, and it doesn't mean that they're not great kids. But very few programs, when there's a takeover, okay, when you have guys that haven't done it at any point in time really in their career, a lot of those guys, they move on. That's what happens in a job change, and I didn't do that. And so I'm not going to complain, and we just got to keep doing everything we can do to fix it and make it better.
All right, so basically what he says is, I decided to keep these guys. I didn't tell them to move on and go find new places to go play basketball, but I just decided to keep these guys who aren't any good. So that's my fault. Sorry about that.
The level of arrogance that he displayed, like, it was all, like, nonchalant, I don't care, kind of like, hey, man, I got the number one player in the country now. He probably was still he probably was still reveling in that a little bit, John. Well, you talk about some of the players that he's coached in the past, D. Wade and guys like that.
And Victor Oladipo.
He was probably reveling in that a little bit.
Well, he got into a little bit of hot water for that because he's, throwing his players under the bus. He's trying to say, that's not really what I meant. It's on me. The program is on me. And so it's whether we win or lose falls on my shoulders, which, by the way, happens to be true. It does fall on his shoulders. But at the same time, you probably shouldn't say, the reason we're losing is I decided to keep these loser players. If I had gotten rid of the loser players, then maybe I could have gotten...
My question is this.
That's basically how it came out.
But my question is this, though. What program that anybody takes over where they decide, the coach decides to move on from the players? This isn't the NFL. This isn't the NBA. And, you know, guys are under scholarship. Mm-hmm. When new coaches come in, you know that any coach, I would think, I've never coached, but I would think that being a coach, that there is going to be some transition that you're going to have to make. Because, to his point, there probably are a bunch of guys on this squad that probably don't fit your offensive or defensive philosophy or fit your basketball philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. But you have to try to – I think a good coach figures out a way to make that work until he does get the players that he wants in there. I really do. So I don't understand what he means by saying that he made the choice to keep him here. It's not like you have a whole roster turnover.
Mm-hmm.
In college, I don't know anybody that could just take over a team and flip their whole roster in a year's time. That's almost virtually impossible to do. If it's been done, somebody please let me know. I've never heard of that before. I've never heard of that. And for him to say that, that sounds a little arrogant to me. That sounds a lot arrogant to me.
Well, he had to apologize, Tom Crean, for that statement. And so he turns around and he apologizes for basically throwing the players under the bus.
Been heavy on my mind since Saturday night, and I bet you can probably imagine. And when I saw my comments that I made, I always try to get our players to understand, like, you can't let frustration set in. I look back at those comments when I saw them, and it's like I was blaming the players. That was never my intent. It was never my intent to do that. My intent, you know, I started out, however I said it, and if I'd have started out with saying that I tell them all the time that I believe in them. And if I didn't believe in them, they wouldn't be here. But I do. And I didn't say that. And that was a mistake. But I am definitely sorry to them, which I've apologized to them. And we talked through a lot of things, but I definitely apologize to them for that. Anybody else that offended, because that was never the intent. And but with that being said, the intent of the way we have to play with a level of spirit and passion and toughness, that's a high demand every day.
Yeah, you know, here's what I will say about Tom Crean. Okay, I know him just a little bit. He was my basketball expert on my show at Fox when I was at the network. When he was the head coach at Marquette, we used him as a basketball expert. And when he went to Indiana, I got to interact with him quite a bit. My wife is a big Indiana person. We would go up to Bloomington and see him every now and then. So I know Tom a little bit. Tom is a very intense guy. Tom is a Harbaugh in a way. He's married to Jim and John Harbaugh's sister, Joni, okay? So he's part of – Jim Harbaugh and John Harbaugh are his brother-in-laws, and he very much fits the Harbaugh mold, okay? And he's a hard-nosed, intense guy. And from all I could tell, he's a very likable guy. I mean, I like Tom, but he does get kind of that way. And so – well, I'll accept his apology on that. At the same time, he's got to check himself. Well, you can't say what you said, Tom, because you can't backtrack and say, I didn't mean to do that, when in fact that's exactly what you did.
Well, I look at it like this, John. And for clarity, he said this Saturday. He didn't say this yesterday. He said it Saturday. But he said what he felt. That's how he honestly felt. And, you know, for you to sit back and say you apologize to the kids. Nothing to apologize about. You said it, and you meant that. Like, you meant that. Mm-hmm. That's something that you meant.
Yep.
You're asking for forgiveness now because somebody pointed it out to you that you offended. But that's your real feelings. And, you know, moving forward, you know, I would think that would be an awkward situation to be in.
Yep.
Playing for Coach Crean.
Yes.
I really do, because you know how he honestly feels about you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not good. But you got to, you know, like you got to work through that. You work through that, and you still have to go out there and you still have to play.
Well, what's worse that can happen? What, are they going to lose?
Yeah.
I mean,
they've been losing.
Right. I don't know how it gets any worse. They play Texas A&M on the road tonight. I mean, I guess you could have players walk out. Look, it's pretty obvious what Tom Crean's going to do. He's going to bring in Anthony Edwards and these other two four-star kids that he has coming in with him. He's probably going to be bringing in more recruits. My guess is there will be a sea change in the Georgia roster, because what Tom Crean will do at the end of the year, any of the players that are on this year's team that he doesn't want, he'll say, my suggestion to you is, and I'll help you find a new school, because if you choose to stay here, you're not going to play. So basically what he'll say is, I won't play you. You can stay here, but he'll force you out by saying,
that's what I'm saying.
You won't play.
He was being honest when he said what he said. And he, for them, UGA this season is basically a wash. It's a wash. And he's moved on. Now that he has this five-star kid in there, Anthony, He's going. That's what he's looking at. He's looking forward to that because they're gonna make some noise next year. They'll be able to make some noise next year if he can coach him up.
Yeah, if he can coach him up and if they go to, let's say, 22, 23 wins, let's say that this kid is really all that in a bag of chips, and they suddenly find themselves in the NCAA tournament next year, whatever he said Saturday night is not going to be
nobody's going to talk about it. It's really not a big deal now, John, because he has the 5-star kid.
Right.
It really isn't. So it's one of those things where it's like you heard him say it. And you know what, he meant it. He was sincere. And it's one of those things you're like, hey, you know what? Everything will be okay. This is just in the news cycle right now. Mm-hmm. And it'll be out by the weekend.
Yeah, it'll be gone. His first two years at Indiana, he stripped the team at Indiana. That's what he did. And I think they won 6 games their first year. I think they went 6-22 or 6-23 the first year he was mm-hmm. at Indiana. He had no players. That team was bad. And they eventually ended up 3-4 years later, 26-0 and number 1 in the nation.
Takes a little time to switch, get your players in there.
Anthony Edwards is just a start, okay? But boy, the marker has been laid down for Georgia Tech because Tom Crean ain't playing. His intention is to turn Georgia into a power, and he may well do it. Busy Tuesday. Not going to be this year, though. LBJ in town. We're going to be asking you a Twitter question, part of our AM Twitter up and all our Twitter stuff today. Next with John and Hugh. It's a question about the Lakers on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now streaming anywhere on radio.com and the radio.com app.
We are killing it online.
Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now at radio.com and the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Kareem, Nixon, Jamal, Rambus, and there's Magic.
Everybody take it to the
Yeah, it's still as cheesy today as it was back then.
Stop that, Ricky!
It's from the jukebox of cheese.
He went back with that one.
Hey, if you're gonna get Kurt Rambis and his glasses that he taped up, this is just awful.
This is the best song ever.
The Lakers are in town tonight. I dare everybody to play this for the Lakers.
These Lakers don't even know this song.
They wouldn't even know Dancing Barry.
No, they wouldn't know Dancing Barry. Lakers coming to State Farm Arena tonight. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. With the Lakers coming to State Farm Arena tonight, who do you consider to be the greatest Laker of all time? And Arthur puts this on here. Before you lose it, we know we don't have room for more names, so if you want to tweet names like Jerry West or Shaq, send them on over. Jerry West probably, I don't know how you even do a list like this. I mean, the list is Wilt, Kareem, Magic, Kobe, Jerry West. I mean,
Kobe did it.
I don't know who the greatest Laker of all time is. I think, Hugh, when you talk about it, it's pretty easy to say, well, it's Magic Johnson. I mean.
Yeah, well, I'll say this, because we're all prisoners of our moment.
Mm-hmm.
And my moment was Magic Johnson. And the Lakers, Showtime Lakers. And to see a big point guard out there doing at his size what he was doing back then. You see, for me, you don't appreciate what Magic's done, was able to do, until you see the point guards of this era. And then you look at him and then you look at the film, you're like, damn, Magic's a big dude out there running point. Like, the big dude to be out there running point. Like, to me, that was the biggest thing. And getting everybody involved, like dishing. Like, he was that dude. So, yeah.
Yeah, Irvin was that dude. I mean, Magic was just such a spectacular player on every level. And, again, this will show you how, when you're talking about Jerry West, Shaquille O'Neal, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, and that doesn't touch all the other great players, James Worthy or Happy Harrison, who I was kind of like giving a little bit of the business to, who was a great player, Gail Goodrich. I mean, they had so many great players over the course of time that it's an impossibility to pick, an all-time Lakers team.
Like, there are certain players there in any sport that you know them not by their real name, Like, I think more people know Magic is Magic than they know him as Irvin. I think Magic got so much pull in L.A. that he could sign his checks Magic Johnson, and they would steal cash. Because they were like, it's Magic. You know what I mean? It's Magic. It's Magic. Like, I don't think Kobe can sign his checks Black Mamba. But Magic can sign his checks Magic Johnson, and still they will steal cash.
That's a great point. And the funny thing about Magic is that, to me, the greatest game he ever played, he played center. Game 7 of the NBA Finals, the Lakers got all banged up. They were forced to put Magic in the 5 position in center. I think he had 40 points and like 15 rebounds.
In his rookie season.
Yeah. They played him at center. Not a point guard, at center.
That's why, I know that we're all like for most kids growing up, like my son, LeBron James is the GOAT. I get that. And that's fine because that's the era that he grew up in. But man, it's like anybody can pick anybody from whatever respect from their respective eras and pick them to be the greatest. But for me, I think Magic was. Because I just remember Magic coming down the court and throwing those no-look passes. You know what I'm saying? And just getting everybody involved. And then wasn't afraid to get into a tete-a-tete with Larry Bird. Wasn't afraid to choke somebody out. Like, right. They were about that life.
Well, somebody was asking me the other day, this is, set aside the greatest of all time. It's game 7 of the NBA Finals. There's 4 seconds to go. You have the ball. You're down by 2, and you've got to have a 3-pointer to win the game, okay? Who do you want taking the shot in the history of the NBA? And to me, the answer, of course, is simple. It's Jordan. I mean, that's who you want taking the shot.
But, the 3-pointer?
Yeah. Oh, you want to make a shot, you know?
Oh, a shot.
Yeah.
I mean, not a 3-pointer.
Okay, maybe, but.
Well, I know, I'm playing semantics, but like, it's important to know what the shot is.
Forget whether it's a 2 or a 3. It's outside the lane, and you got to make a shot, all right, to win it. Who do you want to have take that, okay? It's sort of like, you know, if you want to have somebody take a putt to win the Ryder Cup on the 18th hole, a 15-footer, who do you want to have take that putt? And the answer, of course, is Tiger. Because there's no other answer, because he's the greatest putter in the history of the game. And Jordan was the most clutch player in the history of the game. But aside from Jordan, my second choice would probably be Larry Bird. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean that Magic wasn't the greatest player of all time, because we don't know. It's impossible to tell. Oscar Robertson was Magic before Magic.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a prisoner of the moment of the generation of 35 to 45, you don't remember Oscar Robertson. But Oscar Robertson was Magic before Magic.
Yeah, and that's the thing, John. Everybody remembers who they remember, because it was a special moment where they felt that person transcended the game.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, I say it again, anytime you can go, like Magic goes through the city, and if somebody said, hey, Irvin, nobody would probably look around. Mm-hmm. Nobody would say a word. But you go, hey, Magic. You'd be like, ho, Magic Johnson? I mean, that's just the kind of cachet that he brings to the table.
Yeah, well, Elgin Baylor, another great Laker. I mean, it's impossible because the Lakers have had so many great players. Like the Celtics have had great players. I mean, these franchises have had so many incredible players over the course of time that it's almost an impossibility to pick who the greatest, like, we'd have the same thing if we had the greatest Celtic of all time. I mean, it just would be impossible. I don't even know where you begin to pick this. So I would probably say
most folks say probably Larry Bird.
Yeah, and there's Bill Russell.
Yeah, forgot about Bill Russell. Yeah, he got rings for every finger. Yeah, my bad, Bill Russell.
I mean, and it goes on and on and on. So, I mean.
Would Kevin McHale be considered a great Laker?
You mean Celtic?
That's what I meant, Celtic. Kevin McHale, yeah. Would he be considered a great one?
John Havlicek.
Yeah. He and Robert Parrish.
Yeah, Parrish.
The big three, the original big three.
Yeah.
Yeah, but would you have him on your list here? Because I'm not sure that would be the case.
I would have him on my Celtics list.
Why are we talking about Celtics?
I don't know.
I was just thinking because I'm
having a conversation.
Because I'm going back to the time when I was younger, and I remember them playing all the time. I mean, and they used to go at it.
I mean, because you're leaving Tommy Heinsohn off. I mean, there's
Bob Cousy.
Bob Cousy. I mean, there's a lot. There are just more than a couple.
But back to these Lakers.
Yeah, back to the story that we were supposed to be talking about.
It would be tough of me because Jerry West was my first all-time favorite player. And having watched him suffer through all those years of not winning a title until they finally got the one, I always admired his tenacity in trying to lead the Lakers to the championship. And Now, he had help with Will Chamberlain, obviously, but until they won one, boy, they were the sad sack Lakers because they couldn't get past the Celtics.
If you've ever seen the NBA's logo, right, you think about the NBA logo, do you know who the player is on the NBA logo? That's Jerry West. That is Jerry West. And by the way, Jerry West, one of the truly great executives in the history of the NBA. It was Jerry West that got Kobe Bryant to L.A. Because, you know, on that list that you have there, you know, if you look at it, the Wilt and Kareem and Magic and Kobe, Magic was the only one they drafted.
Oh, yeah, they traded for the rest of them, huh?
Yep. Well, I think Kareem and Wilt and Kobe were all trades, yeah. Yep. Kobe Bryant was almost a Charlotte Hornet. A lot of D-Vots helped that. Kyler Murray, he might be an Arizona Cardinal. Where's Kyler Murray going to end up? That's one of the big stories today, and we're going to talk about it next. With John and Hugh, hey, this is a big deal in the NFL, and it's good news for the Falcons. I will tell you why. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.